It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. It's a symphony of sports. And Bob McCowan is your conductor. Ever been smacked over the head with a conductor's baton? This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, it is indeed Primetime Sports. It is not Bob McCowan. He'll be back on Monday. Jeff Blair and Paul Jones. It's David Price Day in Toronto, Jonesy. David Price acquired from the Detroit Tigers for three pitching prospects. Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jairo Labour, who is a guy that I can tell you people in the Blue Jays organization were really... they've been really fond of for the past couple of months. It's interesting. Alex Anthopoulos made the point in his news conference that when he started talking to David Dombrowski about this deal, or when David called him last night after the Jays game against Philadelphia and they started talking about the deal again, he said that we spent 3 hours, 5 hours talking about the one pitcher involved in the deal. And we never did find out, nor do I expect we'll find out who it is. But it was interesting. He kind of made it sound as if there was a particular pitcher over whom there was that the Jays really fought to not include in the deal. So at some point, I'm sure it'll come out. But
what I find interesting, and what I always find interesting in talking to general managers in any sport, is that calls are made all the time, and sometimes thanks to the proliferation of social media now, you might hear about it on Twitter, or it gets out there and it's kind of rumored all of a sudden. But if fans ever knew the volume of calls made by general managers, just like me calling you, hey Blair, what does it take to get the yellow highlighter? And all of a sudden the discussion starts.
Yours.
Waivers. There, I got it.
Yeah. It is true. And I had a conversation with Masai Ujiri one time about when you're putting together a multiplayer deal, how do you go about doing it? And he said, you'd be surprised how many times when you're doing a multiplayer deal, it's the final two players in the deal where you're on the phone a lot because you're talking to your scouts or your people. Hey, they want this guy, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow.
Yeah.
But the deal got done today. David Price is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays along with Troy Tulowitzki. Jeff Passan is a terrific MLB columnist with Yahoo Sports, and Jeff Passan joins us on Primetime Sports. So, Mr. Passan, when did you think that the Jays and Price, that there were some legs to this?
A little bit earlier today, word started filtering out among the teams that were looking at him and angling for him that Toronto had the inside track. And when you hear opponents talk about another team like that, generally there's something to it. They have some sort of information. And, the drumbeat kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And at some point, look, things change. But at some point, when you hear something enough, it's real. And it became apparent pretty quickly that the Jays were, if not the team to beat, then the team that was going to get David Price like they did.
Is this too steep a price, no pun intended, is this too steep a price for the Blue Jays to have paid for 2 months of David Price?
I don't think so. I think this is about the going rate right now. It's very similar, actually, to what the Royals paid for Johnny Cueto. And I think that Daniel Norris probably has a higher ceiling than any of the pitchers that the Reds got in the Cueto deal. Boyd is a potential. He was a pop-up guy this year, really got a lot more velocity on his fastball and became an actual prospect as opposed to a command and control guy. And know, the third piece, giant left-hander who throws really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of similarities, actually, between these two trades. Both of them saw ace pitchers go for left-handers who throw really hard. And, you know, lefties who throw hard are very rare in baseball. And that's exactly what the Tigers wanted to start their rebuilding around. And it's a good place to start. But at the same time, the Jays have a deep organization. They're getting Marcus Stroman back next year. Aaron Sanchez, I still think, is going to be a rotation piece long term. And it will be very interesting to see what they get out of David Price here.
Jeff, you know, you said something very interesting off the start, how other teams, I don't know if they give up the ghost, but when they have information like, you know, we're chasing the guy, but, you know, Toronto's way ahead of us, or the Dodgers and Toronto have the inside, and you kind of give your hands up and you kind of wave like, okay, go ahead, you take it. That's in the front office. What impact does that have on the field? Like, what's the collateral residual impact now on other teams in the AL East with what Toronto's done, Tulowitzki and now Price? Because it sure lifts the clubhouse in Toronto. What does it do to opposing clubhouses where they might say, were we in on that? Did we have a shot at that? And do you get, you know, one group going up and another clubhouse kind of shoulders slumped and they think, well, man, these guys are going to be tough to beat now?
You know, I think that teams at this point are so focused on themselves.
Okay.
That there's no intention of looking at what other teams, you know, MLB Network's on in every clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously everyone's talking about the Blue Jays and they're going to be hearing about it. And when they're hearing about it, they're going to listen to it and look at it and see Tulo going 3-for-5 with 3 extra base hits in his first game in the leadoff spot. And then, you know, one of the 5 to 10 best pitchers in baseball going there. And the first thing they're going to say is, don't the Blue Jays kind of suck this year? And then the second thing they're going to say is, oh, wait, they don't really suck. They just have a record that's not exactly in line with how well they've been playing,
mm-hmm.
and they have a chance over the last 60 games to go 40-20 and really make a run at this thing. And that, I think, is pretty much all they're saying. They're not sitting there and panicking. They're not saying, oh, we better watch out for the Blue Jays. They're sitting there and saying, we got to win some damn ball games because we need to get ourselves into the postseason.
Hey, Jeff, is it your understanding as well that the Dodgers were kind of the runners-up here, or the other finalist along with the Blue Jays, and did it really, as some people have written, did it really come down to them not wanting to include Corey Seager and Julio Urias in a trade? Is it that straightforward as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, pretty much. And they shouldn't. Not just because they're good enough without David Price, but you simply do not give up prospects mm-hmm. the level of Corey Seager and Julio Urias for a rental.
Right.
You don't give them up, period, unless you're getting somebody of a similar caliber back. It would be beyond stupid of the Dodgers to do. Now, Jose De Leon, that's another story, but
right.
I just don't think the Dodgers wanted to throw in as much as the Blue Jays did. And I'll tell you, it is a very interesting situation there in Toronto, because let's be honest, if Peter Angelos hadn't stepped in, Andrew Kemp would be running the Blue Jays now, right?
I was thinking about that earlier today. That's right. That's absolutely right. Dan Duquette would be the general manager.
Let's just say this, though. I mean, Paul Beeston's gone at the end of the season.
Right.
Depending on what Rogers does, there's a decent shot that Alex Anthopoulos isn't even going to be general manager next
mm-hmm.
year. Not, you know, through nothing of his own doing necessarily, but more because if you bring in the decision maker above him and he wants to install his own general manager, that's a possibility. And so for the Blue Jays to give Alex Anthopoulos this much leeway to go out and make trades like this shocked me.
Mm.
And again, it has nothing to do with his performance as general manager. I very much appreciate his willingness to go big like this. But ultimately, you know, especially if they falter down the stretch here, is somebody else going to be paying the price for this? And are people going to look back and say, moral hazard, moral hazard, moral hazard?
Mm-hmm. Is there, Jeff, do you think is it a coincidence that the Jays David Price talks were rekindled after the Cole Hamels, roughly around the time the Cole Hamels deal kind of came in place with Texas? You know, essentially Texas, Kansas City, I mean, Houston's still looking for pitching, but they'd already added a pitcher. In some ways, is it just a coincidence, or do you think that maybe what happened here is, you know, Alex, in some ways, lucked out? A lot of teams with prospect depth that were looking for starting pitching, they shot their load earlier.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of starting pitching out there still, Jeff. Now, it's not the caliber of David Price, but I honestly thought the Blue Jays were going to get Mike Leake or Jeff Samardzija or somebody who is, like, in that second tier. And the fact that they went as aggressive as they did, it surprised me a little bit. But I suppose when you make a move like you do for Tulowitzki, and you have the second best run differential in baseball, and at the end of the night could have the best, you should go bold because you feel like things are going to catch up and even out. Now, I still think they need a bullpen.
Right, I agree.
That to me, and maybe they're feeling like putting Sanchez in there is going to help out. I still feel like they need something back there, though, another piece. And Joaquin Soria just got traded to the Pirates.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
That out. And, you know, a lot of the guys out there right now are fairly expensive because they're closers and they have names attached to them. But, you know, Tampa Bay's relievers are available. And there are a number of guys out there as well who still could be traded.
Hey, Jeff, back to you talked about you thought Toronto would get a kind of a tier two guy. They get a tier one guy. They don't have control. He's a free agent. And I'm kind of focused on, you know, if you're a Toronto fan and this team does get in and they make some noise, does that give you an insight? Not that you're going to get a hometown discount because guys follow the money, but does that give them?
Can I just say this right now? The chances of David Price re-signing with the Blue Jays are about the same as me and you re-signing with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Like,
it's not happening. He's going to Los Angeles or Chicago.
Well, and that was my question. Did the Dodgers chase him and then, well, you know what? We're not going to give up these prospects. And as Jeff and I were talking about in the earlier hour, just say, you know what? We'll buy it later.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they say we'll buy it later. And for now, we got Alex Wood and Matt Latos and you know, that fortifies our rotation. And if we don't win this year, then we can go out next year and have a rotation that has, you know, Kershaw and either Greinke or Price or maybe both. And Julio Urias, who's 18 years old at AA and left-handed and throwing 98. And Brandon McCarthy or whoever the hell else they want because they're the freaking Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, they have the GDP of small countries.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their idea, and they don't want to do too much now when they're still a mildly flawed team. Not you know, tragically flawed, but they're a mildly flawed team, and they don't want to invest too much in a year where they feel like, you know, going forward, they can just use their money in order to bully people around. I mean, that's sort of what they did today in this 13-player trade.
Right.
They took on Bronson Arroyo's contract. They took on Michael Morse's contract. They paid $28 million in a signing bonus to Hector Oliveira and traded him. And they did that for a controllable pitcher in Alex Wood, a prospect in Jose Peraza, a free agent to be in Matt Latos, and a couple of relief pitchers.
Jeff, I would think, too, from the Dodgers' point of view, that knowing that, you know, it kind of came down to them and the Blue Jays. And as you said, I mean, the Dodgers are going to drive the free agent bus next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I wonder if Andrew Friedman just kind of stood back at one point and said, you know, well, nobody else in the National League is getting this guy either. I mean, I'm not saying that would be the reason you'd pull back, but if you're Andrew Friedman, he's not going to be in your league. So, you know, yeah, it may come back to bite you if you face the Blue Jays in the World Series. But in a lot of ways, if you're Andrew Friedman, you may look at it and go, no, this is actually not the worst case scenario because we still got our top two prospects. We've got a good rotation and we're not David Price isn't really going to have much of an impact on what happens to us this year.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I was a little more surprised that Houston wasn't more aggressive. I figured they would come in with at least a decent play. But again, like the Dodgers, they're looking multiple years out. I think the Blue Jays' window is fairly small.
Yes.
Bautista, free agent after next year. Encarnacion, free agent after next year. Burley, free agent after this year. I know there's a Dickey free agent after next year, or maybe even this year if they don't pick up his option.
Right.
This is going to be a team in the midst of quite a bit of change going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to try to win with this core that you have there right now, I'm all for that. It's what the Royals are doing by going out and getting Cueto and Zobrist. And I think it's what the Jays are doing by going out and getting Price and Tulowitzki.
And we will see the Royals up close starting tonight with the first of a four-game series. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this, as always.
Pleasure is always mine, gentlemen.
Take care.
All right, Jeff.
It's Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. And again, we'll have the first game of the four-game series tonight. Marco Estrada on the mound for the Blue Jays. Danny Duffy for the Royals. First of four games. 7 o'clock, first pitch on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And on the Sportsnet regional TV channels. Well, a guy who knows a little bit about pitching for the Blue Jays and being around good pitching staffs is Pat Henkin. He's a special assistant to the Blue Jays organization. Pat Henkin joining us now on Primetime Sports. Pat, this is quite a day, to say the least. I talked to Buck Martinez about this, and I wasn't around 92, 93. I wasn't around when that team was coming together. I was in Montreal covering the Expos. Are there similarities from what you're seeing now from the mood, the way things are happening around the team, to the way things were done back then?
Well, I think the Tulowitzki thing is very similar to when we got Ricky Henderson. You know, we already had a really potent lineup. Scoring runs wasn't an issue. Matter of fact, it was a starting pitcher's dream. It was going to just get through the fifth with that bullpen as well. And then all of a sudden we make the trade and get Ricky Henderson, and we're like, what? The year before, it was the opposite. We felt like pitching was our strength, and we felt like, you know, all of a sudden after the trade deadline, we get David Cohn, who's leading the National League in strikeouts, and he's probably the best or one of the best National League pitchers in the league, and we get him. It's a huge uplift for the clubhouse. It's a tremendous thing, just a tremendous thing that just took place here. I mean, Tulowitzki and Price within 48 hours.
Pat, talk to me about the mentoring effect that Price could have. I mean, we had Marcus Stroman on earlier, and he was saying, you know, I can't wait to see this guy, to work with him, the knowledge base that he has, and, you know, of hitters, and especially his success against the AL East and passing it down. And I'm thinking about a guy like Drew Hutchison that's had his issues and had his challenges at times.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think they also have Burley to lean on as well in that regard. But David Price has great fastball command. I mean, it's something that I preach all the time in development and scouting and evaluating players. You know, you can take an average pitcher with average stuff, and if he's got good fastball command, he can have success. And David Price has it all. I mean, he's got fastball command. He's got the great stuff. He's got an easy delivery. I think he's going to really help out the guys. I mean, him and Burley and Dickey and they'll be able to run things by each other. Price has tons of knowledge with the AL East about facing the Yankees in New York and the Red Sox in Boston and blah, blah, blah. So it's an exciting time. There's no doubt. I mean, he is a legit number one. And I'm fired up. You can't tell.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty easy to tell. When did you start getting wind of this, Pat? When did people, you know, at your level of the organization start getting wind that Alex might be closing in on David Price?
Well, you know, as well as anyone, Alex keeps the circle tight.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really can't talk about that. But I can tell you that, you know, he's always got something in the works. I think that, the nickname Silent Assassin fits him well. So he's a guy that's working constantly, 23 hours a day. And he's always trying to make the team better. He's always trying to bounce things off the people in his circle. So it's one of those things where even with the Tulo deal, I mean, I know, like, he had talked to them in the winter. He had called me. We had talked about Tulo briefly. And, you know, then all of a sudden it all happens right before the deadline. So, you know, he really improved the team drastically in the last 48 hours.
Pat, as someone who spent a lot of time around the young pitchers in this organization, I'm going to ask you the question that a lot of people are asking right now. This is a the past couple of days, we've seen Alex use an awful lot of his prospect capital, appears to be the new phrase here. But he's spent a lot of prospect capital in getting these deals done. Should that be a concern to people? And, you know, is there more depth in the organization? I'm thinking of a guy like Sean Reed Foley. Is there more depth in the organization, perhaps, than we think?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you hit it on the head. Sean Reed Foley, there's a guy named Tirado. We have some position players, Mitch Ney, Alford, Smith. We got an outfielder named Field. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some players. I mean, it's a credit to the development. It's a credit to the scouting. I mean, that you know, if you don't have the prospects, you can't make the deal. I mean, even though you need the money, you need the ownership to sign off and all that. But the bottom line is, if Dave Dombrowski and the Tigers front office don't like our prospects, the deal's not happening. So it's a credit to the organization, to the drafting and development.
Pat, what does this do for John Gibbons? You manage one way with a certain amount of talent, and not that the approach is going to change, but there are more things that he can do, he can work with. There are different ways he can go now that he's got, you know, a little more firepower. What does that do for John Gibbons?
You know, I don't think he's going to manage any differently. I mean, obviously with Price, I mean, you see the CGs, you see how he pitches deep into the games. I mean, you know, you got a legit number one guy like that. I think it makes it a little easier, actually, if you're the manager, because when in doubt, you go with the ace. And, you know, you let Price pitch out of his own jams. So I don't really think a whole lot of managerial things will change. I think that guys are excited. I could tell you that. You know, it was a huge lift in that clubhouse.
You know, Pat, he's got a real good record of success in this ballpark. What does he do as a pitcher? And I know people are going to say, Jeff, he's 40 wins above 500. He's going to have success pitching on Mars or wherever it is. But what is it about the way he pitches that seems to fit this ballpark so well? Because, I mean, a lot of those wins came with Tampa Bay, and it's not like they're the greatest offensive team in the history of baseball.
No, I think it just gets back to his command. I mean, even when he has days where he doesn't feel good and he's not, the ball's not coming out of his hand at a high level like normal, he has his command to fall back on. So he never really has those rough stretches as a starting pitcher, because on his days when his ball might be 90 to 91 as opposed to the normal 94, 95, he still can locate the ball. And I've always said this, and I've said this for a long time, that the guys with fastball command age so much better. I mean, look at LaTroy Hawkins, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Darren Oliver. How they both have something in common. They both can locate their fastball when it's two balls and one strike and you got a great hitter up there and the game's on the line. They can take a deep breath, relax, and locate the ball down and away. That is what David Price can do. He's been able to do that for a long time. I mean, heck, he came right out of college and made an impact in the bullpen in Tampa that year. He is a polished guy, a legit number one, and it is just a pleasure to see him in a Blue Jay uniform. I'm fired up for Friday, or actually Sunday, I think he's pitching.
Pat, tendency, you talked about how the clubhouse has been lifted. How do you avoid the tendency to try and overdo it? I mean, everybody's so pumped up now. And I'm sure you guys went through that too when you talked about, you know, getting Henderson and then the year before getting Cohn, and everybody's like ready to go. But there's a balance there that you have to strike, isn't there?
There is. I think the pumped up part of it is happening now, like from 2 o'clock when the news broke to 6 o'clock, 6:30. Once the game starts, these guys are professionals. I mean, they're going to play. Their heartbeat's going to slow down. They're going to be able to make the plays like they always do. And I think that once the game starts, it's like you're at home. You're in your little security blanket. Mm. I think as a player, you're going to be able to just deal with the distractions.
Pat, we're going to let you run. As always, it was great to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Pat.
It's Pat Henkin, special assistant to the Blue Jays organization. And I think you can tell he was a little fired up. Indeed, a lot of people are going to be around that team, and why shouldn't they be? Look, it's a great day if you're a Blue Jays fan. It's a great day if you're a Blue Jays player. I mean, you know, it's been a great day around here. Everybody around here's got a spring in their step, and why wouldn't you?
Isn't it interesting to hear that from him? And you know, for me, that side of it in settling into your game routine.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to know Tulowitzki had the butterflies going yesterday.
Well, that first at bat, he looked like he was swinging at butterflies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was, you know, was he pressing too? And then the next time, all right, and then he goes 3 for 5. He's. I know they're pro athletes, but when you're traded, there's an element of, okay, I got to prove myself here a little bit. you know, with the fresh start. These people are expecting stuff from me.
Well, you're human beings. And you're in a different environment. You're in a different clubhouse. You got different people. It's just different. And it's got nothing to do with coming to another country. It's just different, especially when you've played for your entire career in one city. I mean, athletes have nothing else. The athletes are two things. One, they're almost inherently conservative in a lot of ways. And two, they're creatures of habit, which is one and the same.
No question.
It's one and the same. So,
I heard you guys with LaTroy Hawkins. It would have been, I was dying for you guys to ask him, and maybe somebody will get, he's been on so many teams, mm-hmm. in so many clubhouses. How does it feel every time he goes to a new joint? I mean, he's done it, 12, 13 times already. Yep. So that's not a big deal, but there's got to be just a little bit in there when he walks into a new place and looks around like, okay, it's like new house, new home, here we go.
It was interesting because he did say that, you know, I mean, he comes with the reputation of being a leader, but he said, you know, you kind of go in and you let guys approach you. I mean, you're one guy, there's 24 guys.
Right.
You go in, you kind of set up, here's my, hang the shingle up, LaTroy Hawkins, professional pitcher, you know, available 4 p.m. to noon or 4 p.m. to midnight. And as he said, you just kind of wait. You wait, you know, you chat with guys and you wait for guys to come and ask you. I think, you know, it's gotten lost in all the stuff going on around here with the addition of Tulowitzki and Price. But I feel a lot better knowing that LaTroy Hawkins is down in the bullpen, especially knowing that I think at some point we're going to see this organization make a call on whether Roberto Osuna or Aaron Sanchez is the closer going forward. And, boy, both of those two guys, you're learning from a guy who's been a closer, a setup guy, a swing guy. And as he said, there's no role. There's nothing that can happen to you in baseball. It hasn't happened to me. I've been traded. I've been DFA'd. I've been waived outright. I've been hurt. I've had to recover. And
didn't he say, and if it hasn't happened, I know a guy it's happened to.
If it hasn't happened to me, I have a friend it's happened to. And that's indeed right. So quite a day again, the Toronto Blue Jays acquiring David Price from the Detroit Tigers for Jairo Labour, Daniel Norris, and Matt Boyd. Three left-handed pitching prospects. Maybe a little hint there from Pat Henkin. We've kind of assumed that David Price would be pitching on Sunday. That is when that spot in the rotation comes up. There have been some suggestion that maybe the Jays might give him the option of waiting and pitching until Monday. You know, get yourself established. But Pat Henkin kind of suggesting there that, in fact, David Price would be set up to pitch Sunday against the Kansas City Royals.
How much of that might be, as you look, and I heard you guys, I heard Wilner almost, his head almost exploding when you projected down the road as to what Price's starts might be. Poor Wilner. Don't just like the guy. He's like you. They overworked. But
no, it's just, you know, it's a fun time to look ahead to that stuff.
So
how is the guy going to match up?
Do you even think about juggling starts to set up in?
You know what? Yes or no?
It's simplistic, Jeff, but it's a concern.
At this time of the year, when I'm dealing with veterans, with guys who've done things one way, I think the approach is very simple. You don't tinker with it unless, you know, if you're thinking of something, there's nothing wrong with going to a guy and saying, look, we're thinking of maybe giving you an extra day here. What do you think? The guy goes, I don't like that. Okay, you don't do that. Guy goes, yeah, probably not a bad idea. You go ahead and do that. But when it's rookies, when it's young guys, I think you just do what you got to do to get by and win the game. When it's veterans, I think
consult
and err more on the side of, you know, a track record. And as I said, I'm sure with David Price that, you know, if David Price has any great concerns about pitching on Sunday, I'm sure he would approach the Blue Jays about it. But my guess is, based on what you hear about David Price, is he's just going to kind of come in and do his thing. You know, and David Price, professional pitcher. Speaking of the one and only Mike Wilner, he is at the Rogers Center ahead of tonight's game between the Jays and the Royals. And we're going to join Mike Wilner from the broadcast booth when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the best sports talk on the planet on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
One of the great songs of all time. Actually, my line is usually, this is one of the most underrated bands of all time. Underrated Canadian bands of all time is Dylan Brownpoint. Yes, everybody's one of the greatest underrated Canadian bands of all time, as far as I'm concerned. Not underrated, but most definitely one of the greatest of all time. The one and only Mike Wilner, third man in the booth. Host of the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, joining us from the booth at the Rogers Center. And Mike, you're okay? They've pulled you down off the ceiling and everything?
It's been a very, very fun and exciting week, to be sure, so far.
But it's not
Jeffrey.
Over yet.
No, it is not over yet. It's probably over, but it's not over yet.
Oh, it's not over yet. Alex is going to do one more thing. One more thing.
I wouldn't bet on it.
He's going to do one more thing. He's going to add a reliever. You heard it here first.
Okay.
You heard it here first. I'm not telling you who it is because I don't know. But he's going to add a reliever.
Because you just made that up, but that's okay.
I did not make that up. I did not make that up. You're down there. We're here.
Yep.
You know, this is a very general question, Mike, but what is the atmosphere down there as a result, obviously, of the Tulowitzki trade and the game yesterday, but the David Price trade? What are people saying? What are the players like? Just what's the atmosphere down there?
I think, honestly, people, for the most part, are in a state of shock.
Mm-hmm.
They can't believe that this happened. this is not something that we've seen around these parts for the last couple of decades. I think, you know, it was when the Tulowitzki trade went down, the mood was excited but subdued. A lot of people didn't want to disrespect the memory of Jose Reyes, and it was so quick, and he was so well liked, and he's a very good baseball player. So
and you still
want to
know,
be,
and you wanted pitching,
right?
Exactly.
But you didn't want to be jumping for joy at the upgrade. Here they're free to jump for joy, and they have. I mean, Josh Donaldson says it's a fantasy baseball lineup right now.
Mm.
Everyone says that they've got the pieces that they need, and now it's up to the players. And I think that we're talking about the psychological bump that a team gets when something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is really, really, really excited.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I listen to you here and there on Jay's talk in the post game.
I listen to every game you do, Jonesy. I don't know why you only listen to me here and there.
We've got to sleep sometime.
Yeah, though. Exactly. Like Blair, you and Blair, like, look, if I could be your agent and get you a raise, that would be good. I mean, you're on overtime right now. But you had a comment a while back, and it was kind of a throwaway comment that, to me, really hit home. You said, stuff happens out of the ordinary at times, but if you're a Jays fan, like, it never happens to the Jays. You know what I mean? Like Kansas City comes out of nowhere, or Tampa comes out of nowhere. Or just things happen, and everybody says, well, I never saw that coming, but it never, as you put it, it never seems to happen to the Jays.
We don't get good things, Mike.
We can't have nice things. I've said that a million times.
You have.
Your reaction, Michael, when this trade went down. I mean, the last thing Blair and I said last night when we were leaving the air here was, David Price is going to end up with the Dodgers because they'll just throw money. Like, your reaction when this all went down?
I was really excited. I mean, this is a really exciting thing. I've said as recently as last night on Jay's Talk, I'm not giving up my finest meats and cheeses for a rental because of where the Blue Jays are in the standings. They're seven games back. You don't want to do this for a shot at a one-game playoff. But David Price is kind of different.
Yes.
And you still have Stroman Sanchez Asuna, which is going to be the core of your starting rotation probably for the next half decade. So you gave up very good kids, but you didn't give up your finest players. And it's David Price. Like, that's the thing. The abstract notion of a top-of-the-rotation kind of starter is one thing. The concrete David Price is a whole other thing entirely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you're two games back of a wild card spot, and now, you know, there's generally two off days between the end of the regular season and the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're guaranteed that if all you can get is a wild card game, Price, Burley, or Dickey is going to start that. But honestly, Aaron Sanchez is throwing two innings in that game. Roberto Osuna is throwing two innings in that game. Marcus Stroman, if he comes back, is throwing two innings in that game to give yourself the best chance of winning that game. And having a legit ace, a true number one, this is Roy Halladay that the Blue Jays have now in David Price. And this is exactly what they need to just blow through that two-game deficit in the wild card and take a real shot at a Yankee team that they still have 13 games against.
You know, Mike, we had Marcus Stroman on here, and Marcus Stroman said when he signed off, I'll be seeing you, he basically said during the interview that I can't tell you everything I know, but I'll be seeing you, and it'll be this year. Are you getting any sense at all from the Blue Jays that they expect him back at some point?
Not whatsoever. Not even in the slightest. And I wonder if they're just kind of, if this is another case of keeping the cards close to the vest. You know, it's going to be absolute gravy if Marcus Stroman is able to come back and pitch for this team. You got to imagine it would be out of the bullpen in the month of September, even in the middle of September, even on September 22nd.
Yep.
If that's when he can come back, they'll take him. But he seems very, very firm in his resolve to come back and help this team next year. It's certainly medically possible. We know that. I mean, Yovani Gallardo had a similar injury with the Rangers a few years ago, and it only cost him 3.5 months, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he could be back, but I think the Blue Jays understand, especially with all the stuff that they've gone through with Michael Saunders this year, you don't want to even think about thinking about that until it's a concrete reality. Where if is Marcus Stroman on a mound? Is Marcus Stroman pitching in rehab games? Stuff like that. Is his knee, does it feel good after that? Does he have any residual arm issues for maybe overcompensating to make up for the knee? Until that stuff happens, you don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Just out of interest sake, there's so much going on there today. With David Price coming in, Deonner Navarro has I don't know if he was his personal catcher in Tampa. I presume he's caught David Price. Any idea how John Gibbons is going to manage that situation? I actually just thought of this when we were talking.
You mean manage a Navarro-Price situation?
Yeah.
I can't imagine any differently than anything else.
Right.
I mean, he was – Navarro was with him with Tampa for a little while, but – Russ Martin's the number one catcher on the team, right?
Right.
So, we thought that maybe Navarro would become Mark Burley's personal catcher, become Marco Estrada's personal catcher, stuff like that. That it hasn't happened quite that way, so I don't think that it'll be any different with Navarro and Martin.
Hey, Mike, has anybody? I mean, Tulowitzki's barely the. You know, the paint is barely dry on his locker, putting his name up there. Has anybody asked him about this David Price situation? I mean, he was the new guy. There was so much excitement about him, you know, 24, 48 hours ago. Does anybody talk to him and ask him what he thinks of this? I mean, I got to think he's thinking, man, I'm on a fantasy team. Like, wow, look at this. Look at what I've come to with the lineup I'm playing in and the people I'm hitting with, the protection I have. And then he turns the other way. And by the way, David Price is now on your team?
Actually, yeah, we all did ask him. And to be honest, you guys have the audio there of the discussion that we had with Troy Tulowitzki. I don't know if there's enough time to get somebody to dig it up. But he's thrilled. I mean, you know, he talked about just coming over, just getting here, and all of a sudden this happens. And, you know, now he's not the new guy anymore.
He said
he can let Price have the spotlight and he'll sneak out the back door. But it just makes this team that much better and that much more of a contender.
Mike,
to Jeff, by the way,
yes.
Navarro caught Price 24 times.
Right.
Yeah, when they were together in Tampa Bay, which is the fourth highest total of any catcher he's thrown to in his career.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was just wondering that because I was trying to think of guys that would have played with Price, and obviously...
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's the guy. Have not seen the lineup yet. Is Tulowitzki leading off again?
Yep.
Is that going to be the plan, do you think?
And I think until Devin Travis is healthy, unless the Blue Jays, you know, kind of surprise us all and pick up a left fielder who can lead off sometime in the next 22 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the plan. I mean, he's not a textbook leadoff man by any means, but the Blue Jays don't really have one. So you might as well stack your bats up top and just
Absolutely.
Beat the heck out of everybody.
Absolutely. That there's the very sound logic to that. If you don't have a pure, quote-unquote, prototypical leadoff guy, just 1, 2, 3, your best hitters, away we go.
Yep. And in the Blue Jays' case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3. I was going to say, I was going to ask you this. Is the gauntlet able to be expanded, or now that Tulowitzki's there, do you have to change it a bit?
I don't think the definition of gauntlet involves a threesome. I think maybe Jonesy is better to answer that because he's the most educated of the three of us.
I don't know about that. I went to the University of Manitoba.
Don't push it, Wilner. Don't push it.
I don't think there's a number as far as gauntlet is concerned. I mean, maybe you can try to come up with a better one, but it's a gauntlet that's even more gauntletic, if you will, with the addition of Troy Tulowitzki.
In conversation with Mike Wilner, just ahead of tonight's game between the Jays and the Kansas City Royals, the first of a four-game series on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Regional Games.
And since you haven't seen the lineup, by the way, Edwin's not in it again tonight.
Okay.
But he is available to pinch hit.
He is available to pinch hit. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to anybody about this yet, but I'm wondering if the trade of Price plus Tulowitzki, if the Jays have noticed an increase in ticket sales for the rest of the season. I know it's early, but you know how these things happen. People start, people get excited, people buy tickets. I don't know if there's been any indication yet from the team. I had somebody tweet me and say that their phone lines were jammed, and that they're people are buying, trying to buy up the remaining game tickets for this year. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
I've heard nothing about that. I would imagine that as the buzz grows, especially with this one, with Price, I think a lot of fans thought after the Tulowitzki deal, you know, they're not really all that familiar with him, one.
Mm-hmm.
And two, why didn't they get a pitcher? There was a lot of why didn't they get pitching. And so I think the casual fan now will be really, really excited at the addition of not just a pitcher, but one of the top 10 pitchers in the league, a legitimate big-time ace. I'm very interested to see what the crowd's like for Price's first game, whether it's Sunday or Monday.
Mike, talk to any of the people in the booth next door from Kansas City, or they're the opponent for the next little while, and they made a big deal, and they've had some success. Have you talked to anybody about what Toronto's done and what their view is?
Yeah, I was talking to one of the Royals' radio broadcasters down in the clubhouse after the Alex news conference, and he just looked at me and he said, can you believe that it's the Royals and the Blue Jays who are making these huge deals at the deadline? And you know, he's right. The Royals had the longest playoff drought in North American professional sports until last year. Now the Blue Jays have it, and the Pirates had it the year before that when they made the playoffs. These are not teams that have been movers and shakers at the deadline, and now they're both really throwing down, and as amazing as it sounds, this could very well be an ALCS preview. It could be 1985 revisited.
Mike, I'm going to let you run and rest up. Thanks so much for doing this. I know it's been a hectic day for you. Look forward to your work tonight. And the Blue Jays talk might be an all-timer.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, Blue Jays talk goes to midnight. So it's going to be all kinds
of fun. Oh, my God, on a Friday night.
But, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
Jeff Blair loves his Friday night Jays talk.
Oh, I do that, but you should extend it after the bar's empty. That's the best. That's the best. Take care, Mike. Thanks for doing this.
All right,
bye,
Mike.
Boys.
Mike Wilner from the booth at the Rogers Center. And again, we will have Blue Jays baseball in just a couple of minutes. Game one of a four-game series. Jays and Kansas City Royals. David Price expected to pitch likely on Sunday for the Toronto Blue Jays. Mr. Jones, thank you so much for doing this.
One more day, Blair.
One more day tomorrow.
We'll have company tomorrow.
We will be roundtabling tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.